This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. If a heroin addict overdoses, is rescued by EMTs, taken to the emergency room and stabilized, what happens next? Even if a person wants to find treatment, how do they fend off the cravings long enough to get from the door of the ER to a treatment facility 3 or 4 days later that will admit them? That's the transition that the new engagement center operated by Talbert House in partnership with Hamilton County Mental Health and Recovery Services Board is designed to facilitate. To explore this initiative, I am joined by Talbert House Vice President of Court and Corrections, Josh Arnold, and heroin reporter for the Cincinnati Enquirer, Terry DeMio. Josh, welcome.
Thanks, Dan.
And Terry, good to have you here.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's just get started with some basics. What's the need that the engagement center is responding to? I tried to summarize it, but I'm sure you can say it a lot better than I can.
Well, access to care, Dan, is the key component of the engagement center. We found over the last few years with the heroin epidemic that has faced us that clients have not been able to access care. And so a few months ago, we started collaborating with the Hamilton County Mental Health and Recovery Services Board to develop a new program that we are calling the Engagement Center. This will provide 24/7 access, 7 days a week for individuals post-overdose. As you said, many of the individuals that come to the engagement center have overdosed at an area hospital, and they're spending a very short amount of time in those emergency rooms. They need access to care immediately, and we're a 16-bed facility that will be able to provide them residential treatment along with ambulatory detox services for them to help them manage their withdrawal symptoms.
And just to be clear, you're close to some of the key hospitals in the community.
We're located 3009 Burnett Avenue, which is right across from UC Hospital. So very convenient. We've been operating in that facility. It's a secured location that we have staff in there 24/7 with medical staff as well.
Terry, you've covered this as a reporter, this need. How important do you see the creation of this engagement center being as a new way to try to address the challenges that we have?
You know, I think it's an excellent effort. I first started hearing about this type of thing a couple of years ago through the American Society of Addiction Medicine and in Baltimore where they were proposing and now have underway something called a stabilization center. We have been in save them mode for 5 or 6 years. It's an important, you know, mode to be in. But now that, you know, naloxone is highly accessible, we are saving more people than we are caring for. And we all know that because of the rewired nature of the brain that is addicted to opioids, people may want to have treatment one moment and not the next. So this helps with that need to cover the need, you know, for treatment on demand.
Well, Josh, that leads perfectly into the question. Now, I know you've only been open for about 10 days. By the way, do you already have people using the engagement center?
Yeah, Dan, we've already engaged quite a few of individuals, and we've had some success. We've learned a lot in the last 9 days. So we're continuing to refine our services, and we've collaborated with UC Christ Hospital and the quick response team. The quick response teams, the 5 area quick response teams in Hamilton County that we operate, 2 of those have also played a very vital role in making referrals to
quick response teams.
So these quick response teams are county wide throughout Hamilton County. Addiction Services Council and Talbert House provide quick response teams. And these are individuals that go out into the community once an individual has overdosed in Hamilton County, and they take along with them Cincinnati Police individuals as long with fire and EMT, and their entire goal is to engage the individual at their home or at their residence and try to draw them into treatment services, not just the engagement center, but any services that might be available. So we continue to work with those individuals, and we can be an access point to them as well.
Well, tell me about, I mean, okay, 9 days, so you don't have lots of data here yet, so what do you sort of see as the basic experience of a predictable, typical patient who comes to the engagement center? Where do they come from? And then what happens once they get there?
So Terry kind of hit the nail on the head with the access point of these are individuals that at some point in time, they make a decision that they want to enter treatment and engage treatment. And that's the moment that we need to capture them. So what they have done is these are folks that have often been involved in treatment facilities and providers within our area, and they have relapsed. We know that addictions is a disease that often has relapse as part of that. So once an individual relapses and they want to engage back into treatment, we want to be there for them. What they can find when they come to the engagement center is we'll do an initial medical screen of all the individuals when they come in, make sure that they're physically able to step into this level of care. Because of their high nature of medical concerns post-overdose, we need to make sure that they don't need to be actually back in the hospital or somewhere that provides care. We have nurse practitioners, RNs, LPNs, and residential staff there to support their medical needs, and we can utilize buprenorphine and Suboxone as a withdrawal management tool, so utilizing medication for individuals to help them transition through their withdrawals. We also have peer recovery support specialists and case managers on staff that can help them start the planning process because we know that discharge happens at intake. We start planning with them what does their home situation look like? Where are they going to go? What supports do they have out in the community? How do we re-engage them back into the services that they need that helps them on their path to recovery?
And how long do you think the typical stay is going to be?
So we have we averaged when we were planning the process, the average length of stay would be about 3 days. But because we are classified as a short-term residential facility, we can work with the individual and extend that. So if housing or their environment is not a place that they want to return back to and we need to help them engage in new housing, we can continue working with them and they can stay in the residential component of our building. We've seen in the last 9 days, we've seen someone who has spent 4 days with us and stepped out successfully. And then we've had some folks that have left within, 24 hours. And but we're staying engaged. The important thing of the clients that we've been serving so far is we're still engaged with them at different levels and making sure that they're getting connected to the services out in the community.
One thing I want to do before I go to Terry, I want to remind people, you can join our discussion. Call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. Terry, you were saying that a person in this situation can want help at one moment and not be interested in help at another moment. And
right.
The talk about, as you've observed it, the craving that people develop so that, as they are being detoxed, as Josh was talking about, what's a person facing at that moment?
Well, they are compelled. They feel compelled to get the drug that they have been using, in this case, opioids, heroin, fentanyl, prescription drugs. What they're facing, though, is a feeling that they might die. They are extremely sick. Most of these folks are no longer in a state in which they are getting high or getting a euphoric effect from a drug, although they're still seeking that. And fentanyl might, you know, do that for them to some degree. But mainly they're trying to feel normal again. So they have all those withdrawal symptoms that we've heard about for years, vomiting, diarrhea, chills, a whole number of things. And it apparently feels like a flu to beat all flus. Most of them do not die when they are withdrawing. But with buprenorphine or Suboxone, you are introducing a very managed opioid that can help quell some of those cravings and get them to a point where they can think beyond those cravings. They can feel comfortable. They can engage in psychosocial treatment. I think, too, the engagement center is a lot like what I've heard, and Josh, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, about like a hub and spokes method where you've got this centralized, maybe not geographically so, but you've got this centralized hub where people are getting engaged in a system of treatment, and then you reach out to these spokes, these addiction resources that are elsewhere in the community and provide what we call a warm handoff, right, Josh, to additional care. Because that 4 days, that 9 days, that 3 days is certainly not the end of treatment. It's just the beginning of stabilization and treatment.
That's exactly right, Terry. You know, one of the things as a provider in the network of providers that we've done over the last few years with this epidemic is we've changed the way that we operate. Many of the agencies now operate an open access model where individuals can come and get direct service and not schedule an appointment, 5-10 days out. But it's how do we access the individual and engage the individual at the time when they need they need and want the service. And you were talking about the symptoms of an individual when they're withdrawn. It's pain. It is pure pain to that individual, and they're looking for relief. And that's where the cycle continues to happen of using of the opioids, heroin.
Well, we have a caller who has called in, Dr. Will Sawyer. And Dr. Sawyer, you have a question.
Yes, thanks for taking the call. So I'm a self-active family doc, and to help you, your group, in the acute phase accomplish what you're doing, I think what could be helpful is to allow internists and family medicine docs who offer a medical home for their patients to use methadone as an MAT treatment, much like Suboxone for those of us who have done the certification, instead of going to the methadone clinic daily that picks the pocket of these individuals, unfortunately, but keeps them in a medical home, and so they don't do what you talked about, withdrawal, the cravings, and all of that as we address this chronic disease to help you get through the acute phase, because otherwise there's way too much need for you to accomplish what you can do unless we can take the chronic care off the, methadone clinics that are very costly. And the family docs, internists have relationships with many patients. So I want to get your thought on how do we push this forward for certification, much like Suboxone, your thoughts on that.
Dr. Sawyer, I'd like, before I turn this over to the experts who are here today, are you saying that even though it sounds like you have some sort of certification and other doctors would have certification in this area, that you're not allowed to take patients and manage their treatment individually? Is that what you're saying?
No, with methadone.
With methadone.
Addiction. Because here's what happens. I can prescribe methadone for pain and have been able to for 32 years. Very effective for pain management. But for addiction, you have to now go to the clinic, methadone clinic daily, at a daily cost of anywhere from $20 to $40 plus transportation plus your job. But, I mean, and it just, when you multiply that, you just go, these individuals are paying, 400, several hundred dollars a month when if they had a relationship with their personal physician who can do it for pain and with coaching, coordinating, communication, and mental health access, like we'd be so much more successful, frankly.
Okay.
Let's Dr. Sawyer, I think your point about the collaboration is the key point. And, you know, there's a number of providers in town that if we all come together, we can make a lot of strides in this area. And we've had discussions about how do we collaborate with general family practitioners, other clinics in town. We are not utilizing methadone in the engagement center currently. And it hasn't been something that we have talked about doing. There are other providers, as you mentioned, in the community that are using those. But as we develop, I think we're going to see the truer need of the engagement center and where that fits and what levels of care we'll be able to provide differently, and with the evolution of medications. You know, the medication-assisted treatment continues to change. There's new medications coming online that we'll continue to investigate and see if that's an opportunity to help our clients.
Terry, your reporting, do you find that there are places in the United States that would have different approaches that might take in Dr. Sawyer's concerns and incorporate family docs or into the process better?
You know, methadone is a highly regulated treatment when it is used for addiction, as Dr. Sawyer says. The DEA, you know, there are all kinds of federal regulations about it. So, you know, Doctor, I think you make a good point. What has happened instead, I guess, because there has not been a movement to make methadone more widely available, you know, via a doctor's office for addiction, is this push to get family physicians as well as addiction specialists, of which there are far fewer, certified to prescribe buprenorphine. And I know that many who are prescribed are only certified at first, I believe it's the first year, but I haven't checked lately, to handle 30 patients with that medication, and then it goes up to 100 and then 275. But I think what you're going to see more of, and what we're seeing in other areas that are progressing on medication-assisted treatment, is to get any doctor, every doctor, you know, every medical doctor ramped up with this certification, which is about an 8-hour course, I think, to prescribe buprenorphine, which is another way, you know, it's another medication similar to methadone that you can give your patients to help them stabilize and help them recover and continue with recovery.
Josh, what's the capacity of the engagement center?
16-bed residential facility. We have the ability within our space to expand. We could get in up to 24 beds as we expand. But because of the short nature of the length of stay, 3 days on average is what we anticipate, we would be able to serve a high volume. You know, Dan, last year, over 4,000 individuals visited Hamilton County emergency rooms post-overdose. And our goal is to provide that access point for them there. Right now, we are seeing about 200 individuals a month go to the emergency room and EMTs for overdose, and trying to work with that population is going to be the key.
Okay. Are there patients who might present themselves at the engagement center who you would not take?
Yeah, the clients that are really medically require more services and treatment. These would be individuals that had seizure disorders. There's also individuals that are heavily addicted to benzodiazepines and alcohol, that their withdrawal symptoms simply are not something that we're able to handle at this point. But we will continue to monitor those individuals through our assessment process and try to connect them to other providers of that provide detox services, as well as the partnerships and collaborations we have with the hospitals.
So, Terry, once a person has accessed this sort of acute care that's offered by the engagement center, what are the options after that?
They should be connected with an addiction treatment center that continues to provide evidence-based treatment. If they have opioid use disorder, which is what we know as heroin addiction, fentanyl addiction, opioid addiction, there's evidence that shows that they're still going to need treatment. Medication-assisted treatment is the most successful. So they may need a family doctor, and if they get into a crisis mode, they may need to go back to something more intense, such as a hospital or the engagement center.
Okay.
They're going to need psychosocial care as well.
Well, I want to thank both Josh Arnold from the Talbert House and Enquirer reporter Terry DeMio and Dr. Will Sawyer for calling in. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website at WVXU.org. I'm Dan Hurley.